Bad barista, yeah, they're bad. Bad barista, yeah, they're bad. Bad barista, yeah, they're bad. Are they bad meaning bad or bad meaning good? Good, good, good.
Welcome to another episode of Bad Barista. I'm your host, Casa Compaña.
And I'm his co-host, Teresa Soymacha.
On this episode of Bad Barista, we'll be talking about Dunkin' Donuts Toasted White Chocolate
Signature Latte.
Signature Latte, Dunkin' Donuts cookie Spice Cookie Coffee, and Starbucks Oatmeal.
Gingerbread.
Oat milk.
Chai
oat milk. Here we go.
Something like that.
Something like that.
We butchered the name.
Yeah. Starbucks gingerbread
oat milk chai.
Yeah. All right. And for our, if you stay with us later, for our coffee shop talk, we're going to have a small discussion on AI.
This is why you said you're going to keep it.
Yeah, my favorite.
Before I bring it up.
All right. So without further ado, let's get into the Dunkin' Donuts Toasted White Chocolate, which is supposed to be one of their holiday drinks that they have.
It's their festive.
Oh, they call it festive drinks. Okay. Quote, festive for the upcoming Christmas time, I'm assuming, or Xmas, however people want to call it.
Holidays.
Well.
Just to be politically correct.
Well, they're a little early then, just like Starbucks. All right, so let's get a description of what the drink is supposed to be about.
All right, so the Toasted White Chocolate Iced Signature Latte, it's rich espresso and milk paired with creamy, rich white chocolate flavor, topped with whipped cream, caramel drizzle, and a dusting of cinnamon sugar for a festive, decked out latte.
Okay, so I remember having toasted vanilla from Dunkin', because that was a big thing, I think.
They made a really big deal.
Yeah, it was like a year ago, 2 years, but it was toasted.
It was during the summertime, I remember.
Okay, so you ordered the drinks, that's what you wanted. I had some of the drink. So you can tell me your thoughts on the drink. What'd you think about it?
I probably shouldn't have ordered it, because I don't really care for white chocolate.
I know, that's what I thought, so I'm not sure why you ordered it.
But I just wanted something different. The only other thing they had was like the cookie butter cold brew.
Yeah, they had several options. Some of them are not new, but they had...
But, like, I don't care for peppermint mocha either.
I feel like they had the sugar cookie, not sugar cookie, something else cookie, peppermint mocha. I can't... They had, a lot of flavors.
Nothing really caught my eye. I thought maybe this white chocolate would taste different because it's toasted. It may be different.
Well, did it taste delicious, not delicious?
It's Dunkin'.
What does that mean? There's some people out there, they love Dunkin', so you can't just say it's Dunkin'.
That's true. Well, I never get like an overwhelming of flavor. Mm. It honestly, it just sounds bad. Like when I go from drink to drink, it just all tastes muddled together. There's no individual separate taste to me. And I don't know if it's the espresso beans they use or what it is.
Do you think they use espresso beans?
I would hope. No, come on. Are you serious?
I'm pretty sure they probably use some type of espresso syrup. That's how they save money. That's why I feel like Dunkin' Donuts stuff is so cheap.
You're like making me worry because
I feel like their coffee's coffee. Like, I feel like their iced coffee's coffee, their cold brew coffee's coffee. But when it comes to lattes,
you think there's no coffee in it?
There's espresso shots, but this espresso syrup shots probably not actual. Like,
if you look at the app, it tells you flavors: toasted white chocolate, dairy is whole milk, sweetened flavors is toasted white chocolate. And then you go into whipped cream, caramel drizzle, cinnamon sugar, and standard. Like, I don't see anything that says espresso.
That's even different. And then maybe there's no espresso in that whatsoever.
You think it's just the steamer?
It could be, but like I said, there's a lot of their lattes. I don't think they use real espresso coffee, like, you know, shots. They don't use the real beans. Have you ever heard of anything grinding there when you're in there?
I'm trying to remember.
I can tell you now, there's no grinding. They push a bunch of buttons and it comes out. So I think that's how they're able to save more money, and they make more money that way. So for me, I tasted it.
Yeah, because it's not like I can add like extra shots or anything.
You can't. And for me, it didn't taste like white chocolate. That's one thing. Mm-hmm. It was sweet.
It was sweet. Yeah, it just tasted like a sweetened latte.
And instead of muddled, I would use the word watered down is how I feel like about a lot of Dunkin' drinks. And it's odd because that wasn't the ice drink you had. You actually had a... It was an ice drink.
Yeah.
So without even the ice, because I get sometimes ice, it still tastes very, very...
I just clicked on add-ons. Mm-hmm. And right now, add-ons has none. Underneath the add-ons, it asks if I would like a shot of espresso.
Yeah, but we have to see one day if it's actually real espresso or they're actually pumping. Because even Starbucks has an espresso pump.
But they put actual espresso shots,
In certain drinks. Mm-hmm. There are other drinks like the frappes.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to put in the espresso pumps.
That's true.
They don't put actual stuff in there.
So then when you ask for extra shot of espresso, are they just giving you sweetener instead of actual?
Well, I don't know if the actual espresso liquid shots, I'm going to call them, in the bottle are sweet or not. I'm assuming that they're sweet because other companies sell espresso syrup.
Mm-hmm.
If you go look, you'll see Torani, other places have espresso
syrup. Yeah.
What Starbucks says in their frappuccinos is that it is a pump of espresso. It's not actual espresso coffee.
Mm.
I mean, no, saying that right. Actual.
But I mean, like, to save money, whenever you say, like, you order a regular latte at Starbucks and you ask for an additional shot of espresso, are they giving you actual espresso shot or espresso syrup?
You don't know. Unless you're actually really watching them. That's the thing. And a lot of times the way these setups are for Starbucks,
you can't really see what they're doing.
You can't see what they're doing. So
people could be paying for additional espresso shots when they're just getting syrup.
We're going to get into Starbucks, but like you already said, the whole thing with we talked about Starbucks being sued. We'll get into Starbucks because that's what's coming up next. But to finish out that drink, it was a sweet drink. It didn't really have much flavor to me. Compared to the other Dunkin' Donuts drink I was drinking, it's a big difference. We'll get into the second Dunkin' after we talk about Starbucks, because when I read this on Dunkin', it was what we kind of talked about on Starbucks.
About Starbucks, yeah.
Yeah, so let's get into the Starbucks drink.
All right, so Starbucks, we ordered, this is their, what do they call this, the holiday menu or also festive menu?
I'll call it holiday menu.
Okay, so we ordered the iced gingerbread oat milk chai. Casa ordered the iced one. I ordered it hot.
Yes, and I don't believe gingerbread itself is new to Starbucks, but I feel like gingerbread oat milk chai is new to Starbucks.
Well, I feel like this year they're expanding the chai variety.
Well, they are, but then when you start adding alternative milks to things, that becomes something new.
It changes the taste.
Yeah, it's like bringing back the caramel crunch or whatever. I can't think. That was one of their drinks called, I think it's called Caramel Crunch or something.
Was it Frappuccino or what?
I think you can get either or. They also have, I think now the sugar cookie.
They brought that back, yeah.
The praline, I can't, I think that's one too. But now imagine if I didn't do sugar cookie lattes last year with oat milk.
Mm-hmm.
I sell it as the new oat milk sugar cookie latte. Compared to just saying the sugar cookie latte, which is what they had. And of course you can change the milks if you want.
Mm-hmm.
So not to waste time, let's get into the drink because we have one more drink to go. So I'll go first on my thoughts. When I first initially drank the ice version, I didn't taste the gingerbread at all. Then you said yours tastes like gingerbread.
Or at least it made me think gingerbread.
So then I drank yours. And the hot one had a little bit more of, I'd say, a little kick to it, a little spice. And the long run started to think, and we talked about that, and that because I kept saying, I compare that to the pumpkin chai.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, it's very subtle. It's like you don't even know it's
there. You barely
there.
Taste it, yeah.
And so that's when you realize that it just tastes like a very spicy chai.
Yeah.
Which is what chai to me should taste like, is spicy instead of sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And so we realized that, hey, well, this is what it tastes like. It just tastes like a chai drink. So I'm like,
it just tastes like our chai.
Well, and that didn't taste like our chai.
Well, I mean, like it closer to it.
It tastes more like Oregon Trail's version of spiced chai, which is still somewhat sweet and a little bit spicy.
A little bit of a kick, yeah.
Yeah, the one that we use is not sweet whatsoever. So I don't think this tastes anything like that. On top of that, the oat milk is really powerful. It throws it off to me, so I wanted to go try it with regular milk. So I went right back, or at least you went back and got one with regular milk.
Yeah.
And in this case here, it just tasted like another watered down version. I didn't taste any of the gingerbread. I didn't barely taste any of the ginger, the spice stuff, whatever was causing it to taste like that. So before I go further in it, we'll tell how you thought about the drink.
Oh, you were asking me like, well, does it taste like gingerbread? And I was like, yeah. But then I told you, I said, well, because I taste ginger, and I said something, and it makes it taste like bread or a cookie.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was okay with it.
You seem to really be enjoying it when you were drinking it.
Well, maybe it's because it was kind of chilly out.
So you're saying
like it was on the sweet side. So of course, I always enjoy my Starbucks drink sweet.
So what I'm hearing you saying is that the hot version was a comfort drink.
It was a comfort drink. It did bring me, you know, also because it was raining earlier today, so it brought me that comfort of having something warm in my hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, let's get into this before I chop it up.
Yeah.
it bothered me so much that I was like, what's going on? You decided to look up.
I looked up how on the app, like what's included into it. So I told you, I said, hey, so it's made out of 4 pumps of chai. Pumpkin spice topping, and then that was pretty much it. So then you're like, wait, so it's just pumps of chai syrup, so it's not even like a chai concentrate that most places usually use. And so then I was like, well, let me just read the description of it. It says warm gingerbread notes, a cozy blend of chai spices and creamy oat milk come together in a tea latte to create a unique festive feel good moment, which I did feel, Casa.
Yeah, but at the same time,
you were stuck on the warm gingerbread notes.
There is no gingerbread flavoring in the drink, but yet they call it gingerbread. They put together pumpkin spice with the chai to say it tastes like gingerbread. There's no way in any version does chai mixed with pumpkin spice taste like a gingerbread. And I'm assuming gingerbread cookie, because that's the Christmas thing, is a gingerbread cookie, which we made our own gingerbread cookie before.
Yeah, we did. We made a
latte, and we actually did.
You made a gingerbread chai.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also did the Girl Scout ginger snaps. So I made a ginger snap Girl Scout cookie.
You also did a gingerbread white chocolate,
yeah. Something like that. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm not tasting the gingerbread. And when they said gingerbread notes, it reminded me of why Starbucks was getting sued. When they were talking about, they expected to have that type of fruit in that drink.
With the refreshers, yeah.
So why are they not getting sued for this? Because I'm expecting to have gingerbread flavor, but I guess that's not real gingerbread. Like they said real fruit, that's the difference, because they said it was real fruit in there. But they still should have gingerbread flavoring in a gingerbread latte.
The judge ended up saying that, you know, it's
misleading.
It's very misleading, and that when the name of the drink says specific ingredients, it's not unusual for a consumer to assume those ingredients are in the drink.
And I definitely would assume that there is gingerbread, not pumpkin spice.
And then pumps of chai.
And pumps of chai. But like I said, there you go again. See, pumps of chai, which I said that they also have espresso pumps. So... people are drinking not even actual chai, like concentrate chai. They're drinking chai.
So it's just syrup. Chai syrup and milk.
And milk.
It's like a steamer.
And, and that's what that second one, which I'm holding right now, that I got with the whole milk, it just tasted like a water milky version of a chai. While I believe the oat milk enhanced the flavor of the chai, gave it a thicker feel. Because that's what oatmeal does to make you feel. And you said it kind of reminds you of the cookie type of thing. So they kind of gave that feel for it. But it didn't pan out in the ice version versus
the
your
hot
version.
One. Because the hot one, the flavors were enhanced. That's why, I'm like, you tried it and you said you taste the flavors more.
Yeah, but at the same time, this is the one time where I didn't take a hot drink and say, give it to me ice. They sell it as an ice and they also sell it as a hot, which I means that whoever did the flavoring and tasting this didn't taste it, because I would never have sold this as an ice. I would have been as a hot. You get it iced, it's on you.
Well, that's kind of like even some of the specialty drinks that we make. We tell people like, hey, this is, we made it hot for a reason. So if you get it iced, it's not going to be as flavorful as it usually is. So this is our first time experiencing it with Starbucks, where it's like the hot version does taste a lot better than the iced one.
All right. So it brings me back into now the third drink, which is the Dunkin' Donuts Spice Cookie, which reminded me of the gingerbread.
Well, it made me think. I was like, oh, they couldn't use the word gingerbread because Starbucks did already.
The spice cookie coffee, but they explain it as it's available for hot or iced. It features brown sugar and vanilla flavors combined with oat milk for what Duncan says captures the essence of freshly baked oat milk cookies in a cup. So I don't know how, to me, I guess spiced oat milk cookies.
I was going
to
say, is oat milk cookies spiced?
They have the white stuff. You're not an oat milk cookie fan.
I thought that's sugar. No, like sugar icing on the white part.
It is. They have what's called spiced oat milk cookies. So for me, though, that once again, they did that whole Starbucks thing where it says captures the essence. So basically, they're putting brown sugar and vanilla with oat milk.
But it makes sense that they put spiced cookie, so they weren't saying this is a gingerbread.
Yeah, but what's spice in there?
I don't know,
because you're talking about oat milk isn't spiced, brown sugar isn't, and vanilla isn't.
Maybe there's some type of dusting in it.
They didn't say anything, and to me, I didn't taste anything like that.
I'm trying to remember if there was any like dust on top of your drink.
No, it wasn't. And like I said, the flavor to me of that was about gross. So here's a picture of your spice oat milk cookies.
Oh, okay.
It's just me.
It's just oh yeah, that's the funny part. When you were drinking it, I remember you're like, did they even put milk in this? And I was like, wait, it says it has oat milk.
Yeah,
in
I'm thinking it was regular milk in the coffee. It was oat milk in the coffee.
Yeah, because it was like super.
Yeah, regular, yeah. So I'm going over time so we can get out here and get into our discussion. But overall, for me, I'm going to say the toasted white chocolate at Dunkin'. I didn't care for it. You want to buy it? Try it. At the Starbucks, I'm going to tell them, shame on you, Starbucks. Shame, shame, shame on you. And I'll tell people right now, don't waste your money on the gingerbread chai.
You know how much this costs?
Isn't expensive.
It was $6.75.
If you want a bang for the buck of flavor, the pumpkin chai is the best way to go. If you're not a pumpkin person, don't waste your time on the gingerbread chai. The pumpkin chai makes the gingerbread chai look like child's play. Yeah. So I wouldn't even waste my time on that. Don't spend your money on the gingerbread chai at all. And then for the Dunkin' spice oatmeal or whatever it's called, spice cookie.
Yeah, that's another coffee.
One. Don't waste your money on that at all. Don't buy it. It's a waste. It's not what you think it is. It's not going to taste like you think it is. It's a waste of buying it. It'd be better to stick off with an iced coffee with some milk.
Don't get the toasted white chocolate either.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything special.
All right. So thank you for listening to us as we did our drink reviews. And once again, we did a drink review with two Dunkin' Donut drinks and one Starbucks drink. So please stay tuned for our coffee shop talk. Welcome back. I'm your host, Casa Compagna.
I'm his co-host, Teresa Soy Matcha.
If you are still here with us, or you joined us for the first time and jumped over to this section, our coffee shop talk will be about AI. Now, AI itself is very broad and general. Mm-hmm. And I know I don't want to talk about everything in AI, so maybe I'm just kind of more of getting your thoughts on AI or what you think about it, or maybe, you know, even explain the first time you heard about it, things like that, and just see where you're coming from.
I mean, like, AI is such a big topic. Like, my first experience of AI would have to be, was it Will Smith's iRobot?
Oh, okay.
That's what I go to when I think of AI. But because of recent developments, especially in the art world, over a year ago when we were at Lightbox, that was a very hot topic. And I don't remember if we spoke about it.
No.
Like, we had a podcast. Did we discuss anything about it, or it was just a conversation we had?
No, I don't think we discussed AI art. If we did, I don't remember on podcast if we did, but it was when we were at Lightbox.
It was a big topic that a lot of the artists and panels were talking about, but I think amongst me and you, we were discussing it, and same with the artist that we were with. We were talking with him about it as well.
Yeah, I think that a lot of artists were scared, about things being replaced, especially them.
I mean, like, I feel like I had like a mini breakdown with you. I was like, this is going to replace me. Like, I can't do what those AI programs, Midjourney, what was the other ones that they had?
I don't remember, so many. Yeah. And then it was the thing is that it wasn't just traditional artists who were actually kind of scared. Also, digital artists were kind of scared of the AI art to come out. So that was in, this is 2023. That was in 2021. Because 2022.
Last year at Lightbox. Yeah.
Well, one just passed by. That's why. So 2022, here we are in the thick of it. And AI has spread more than just art. It has went to typing tutorials to
writing emails for you.
Emails even for podcasts. They have AI for podcasts that can dictate for you and what's the thing? Transcribe.
Oh,
okay. Transcribe for you. So it's even moved to here. And I feel like I was talking to my cousin. He was saying that the AI stuff for even for his profession. I was telling you he sells what. Real estate.
Real estate, yeah.
So they have stuff like that for real estate, AI type stuff. So, yeah, AI, when you talk about artificial intelligence, I feel like it was even before Will Smith, it was the kid, I can't think of his name. I think he died. Gosh, I can't think of it. But Daryl, not Daryl, that's another one. But I think he was also artificial intelligence. It was another boy.
I feel like there was a lot of movies about artificial intelligence. What was that HAL thing?
I was trying to think of the one with Jude Law, but I can't think of what it's called.
Oh.
Where he helps out the kid and find the kid is actually an artificial intelligence. Yeah, I can't remember.
Why can I not think of the name of that movie? I know what movie you're talking about.
But to jump to it, I guess I was focusing more on the AI art because recently, especially with a lot of social media, all the different memes and things that are jumping out. Like the trend right now is they're taking a lot of, like, you know, Looney Tunes characters, Disney characters, mixing them with like hip hop stuff. And that's what was going right now. I was actually looking at this lady who had posted some bread that she, you know, says she shaped it and it looks like a dog. Now, the question is, did she really do that? And we can't even say Photoshop anymore because we can kind of tell the difference in Photoshop. Or is that some type of AI art?
Yeah.
So now to give an example, I was on Facebook and someone posted some sorority, little girls dressed in sorority
outfits,
black sorority outfits.
Okay.
And someone commented, oh my gosh, the little girls are so cute. When I first looked at them, I'm like, that's AI art.
Because you could tell by the smooth.
Yeah, I just can tell it was AI art because I've seen enough of it. But the person commenting on the, on the picture thought that they were real.
Because some people who aren't that close to the art world, they don't realize that there is this technology.
Yeah, so that's what the scary part is. And that's what I think artists, you know, were afraid of because there was no way of saying that this is AI art versus someone who actually put their time with their hands and pencils or they put their time into doing with the hands on digital or even like, you know, shaping, pasting, whatever. This was simple that if you don't know what AI art is, as simple as putting in words. You type in words, and then the AI comes out with an image.
Based off of the parameters.
That you put in there. And then when you want to change it, you can then add words, take words away, and keep changing and modifying that actual picture image. So it does take time, and it does take a lot of words to get what you want, and it's not perfect. I've tried it myself a million times, and I never got like an actual program to do it, but I've dabbled here and there, which I did come out with some nice things I like. I don't mind it. I just don't have the time to be put into it, but it seems like if you're trying to make it for a money lucrative thing, the thing is that I feel like AI art may not be that. AI art may just be more for social media, things to put on your page and make it look cool, because I think companies are going to stay away from AI artists because the AI artists become a dime a dozen. And then you have so many to choose to when technically anybody that you works for, you can probably go on one of those systems
and just type. You just got to have the right words picked out.
But another thing you had mentioned the other day, and we were talking about AI art, and I said that because we were talking about comic book art and how comics have changed and now they're having more of the anime influence or cartoon influence. And I explained to you like Don Bluth or Miyazaki, like, you know, Studio Ghibli, they have a specific type of art that you know is their art.
It's very stylized.
Yeah. So it's, if I was looking at AI art, most of the AI art that we're looking at has been realistic. They do have AI art that's not realistic, but what's been popular is the realistic looks.
The almost like a photo shopped.
Yeah. Smoothness. Smooth, so yeah. Surreal. It hasn't been, they haven't been putting out a lot.
Or as I like to call it, when we first saw it last year, I was telling you, I was like, dude, all of these, they just look so dead in the eyes. Like there's no soul behind
it. I do have to say that they've gotten better with
have
that.
Have they gotten better at it? Oh my God.
They've gotten a lot better with it. But then a lot of times, if some people have the character or the person or the image that they're trying to portray with shades on and things like that. But like the one with the little girls, it was better. It wasn't like dead in the soul. Okay. It wasn't scary. We were looking at the beta stuff. A lot of the beta stuff we were looking at, they had a lot of scary looking eyes and
they just I don't know, there was just something weird about how it looked.
Yeah, maybe on one of the things I'll post, one of the AI art that I did a while ago, people can check it out. But overall I think it's gotten better, but at the same time it's something I don't really care for, because now they have cell phones with AI picture assists, this and that. It's just like, it's one of those things like it's when a basketball, football, baseball team, they're losing all the time and you're not a fan and they start winning. Next thing you know, you're wearing like all their paraphernalia. Mm-hmm. You're jumping on what we call that bandwagon. And I really feel like right now AI is a big bandwagon, not just by consumers, but also by companies. Mm-hmm. Companies are promoting it. Consumers are jumping on because it's the end thing. It's the now thing. It's, you know, AI this, AI that, you know.
Well, I feel like Adobe has adopted it because I've been seeing updates for Photoshop and they have this, they call it auto generative. Mm-hmm. So say if you had like a picture of you right here, but then you want to expand and include like more bookcases, you can literally highlight that area and type like bookcases and then it would auto generate the different options and then you can pick what you want.
I mean, it has great options, but here's here's another parameter. We'll get back into that because I think you were showing me somebody who said that they were trying to pass laws or something like that.
That was Biden.
Yeah, not right now, but and I don't know if that was legit because I never looked it up.
That was on his Instagram.
But girl, I'm going to forget what I'm trying to say now. See, now my brain went. What did you talk about right before that?
I was talking about Photoshop, Adobe. They have this auto-generative thing. Oh, there we go.
So now here's the problem. We've already talked about social media and what's that called? Social body shaming, things like that, where people took a lot of looks and turned and they used different
filters
for their faces, you know, as you know, making themselves look different. So we've already had a problem with this. We've had a problem with people putting pictures in there that look nothing like them, but changing their features.
It was leading towards this.
But now here's the thing. We were watching before where some people with their backgrounds were using different backgrounds just to make it seem like they were in the area.
Well,
now when traveling. Now when you have this AI art and you tell me I can put it in the background. Now I can have myself traveling all the world looking like I'm big balling and making money and doing these type of things.
You can be at the beach every single day, different beach.
And very successful. Now some people may ask, well, there's no point in doing that, but there is. If you're getting enough followers, that means companies want to give you things so that you can promote their thing. But if your whole thing is based on a lie to get companies to give you money, then therefore you're falsely advertising because you say this is your lifestyle and this is what you do, but yet you made it up using some type of AI art or fake means to get companies to produce into you because people thought that you were really doing this because they didn't know the difference in AI art or whatever and decided to follow you. And so now that you say I have this much following, now companies give you things. So now, therefore, the line that you did now has benefited you to make money off of it. I mean, that's what I'm talking about, where the next level is going to go to. How can we make money?
I mean, that just sounds like Starbucks telling people like, yeah, come get this gingerbread oat milk chai when there's no gingerbread in it.
Definitely, definitely true. Before you know, Starbucks is going to be using AI on their pictures to make their drinks look better.
They're going
to
make really you are. Think this is what it tastes like when you're drinking just plain coffee.
You're going to see the gingerbread in that AI art. Someone should do one. Do a gingerbread Starbucks coffee and have a gingerbread man bathing it.
It's just going to be on the cup to make you think there's gingerbread in it.
No, see, the reason why you have the gingerbread man bathing it is because that's where the notes of the gingerbread come from. It's just basically like he just shedded his dead skin.
I was going to say gingerbread like, sweat.
Yeah, sweat. You know, the gingerbread man said, here, you can have my essence. You can have my flavoring. But I ain't staying here because you ain't eating it.
That part of the essence?
Yeah, you ain't catching me. This gingerbread man getting caught. Dip myself in here and run.
And then that's it.
Yeah, it's probably like this coffee nasty anyways. It don't feel good. But yeah, so So yeah, so I didn't want to get too deep into it with AI art or AI in general, but it's getting big, big topics.
Yeah. So all this right, was so the thing I had sent you.
Before we get out here, so the AI executive order requires all companies to report testing of their models to make sure they're safe. It directs new watermarking tools to clearly label AI-generated content, creation of new guardrails to stop companies from collecting personal data. And this is what the complaint
was
from
a big thing, yeah.
A lot of artists. Their stuff was being stolen mm-hmm. to help create the base knowledge of the AI itself. Mm-hmm. So it's like
because AI can take any image online and use it without artist's permission.
Yeah, so basically what they were doing, they were teaching the little AI mm-hmm. what art is, mm-hmm. teaching them all the different stuff, teaching this by mm-hmm. feeding that to them. So it was learning. But unfortunately, it was learning off of people who already did this, who were not getting paid mm-hmm. for this AI to learn off of it. All right. Make sure AI tools aren't being used to exacerbate bias and discrimination. Which that's like we were talking about with IG, but just like in case of like when you have, like right now with, Palestine and Israel, you know mm-hmm. how much, fake information can be given if people are using mm-hmm. AI stuff to make mm-hmm. it look realistic.
Oh, to make it, yeah.
Which is probably something people would do. Directs agencies to protect consumers from harmful uses of AI. Directs the building of a talented AI workforce, which I don't know what that means.
That's going to be a field.
I know, but I mean, a talented AI workforce is just like, how do you know if they're talented? Because they produce.
Because they're really good at what keywords to put in to generate images instantly.
Yeah, well, that's if companies decide to stick with AI art, you know what I mean? Then they will have a workforce.
True. Well, I'm like, it would be cheaper, I feel like. That's why they would want to.
Not necessarily. It's not cheaper because once these people get to a certain talent and certain good, they expect mm-hmm. more money, just like anybody else.
That's the other thing we were talking about. AI art, it technically can't evolve without more information.
It can't. But the thing is that if you're using it for commercial means and purposes, mm-hmm. we're talking about like movie posters, commercials themselves, stuff like that, mm-hmm. then how much does it really need to evolve?
That's true.
And then on top of that, you're talking about when I'm doing this for my job, mm-hmm. well, guess what? I'm making you tons of money with this AI art. And if I'm really that good, I'm going to demand for more money because you can find someone else and it won't be halfway near that or they won't mm-hmm. have as many people. But also the other thing about AI art is that it still depends on the person who's doing it mm-hmm. because the ideas come from that person, what they do, what they combine, what they say, the words they have. Mm-hmm. So that makes it that this is a field that they still would have to pay someone to do and they might actually have to pay more money for it because you might not get a lot of people who care to do this. They just do it for mm-hmm. fun and not trying to do it for a profession mm. versus a lot of artists who are doing it for a profession, for comics, for this, for that, for whatever. All right. So last one was unlocks. It says tools for U.S. to deploy AI to help solve global challenges. Okay. So now we want to use AI in war. That's what it sounds like.
That's what it does.
Well, just before I got here, I was just rewatching mm-hmm. as I was watching Gundam 00 mm-hmm. and the good guys, Celestial Beam, they use Veda, and Veda is an actual AI. Mm-hmm. So Veda tells them their mission parameters, sets up the strategy on how they should tackle it, yada, yada, yada. And I feel like that's what they're talking about. So just mm-hmm. like in the anime, when mm-hmm. they're about to go off to fight, they give a tactical mission plan.
So AI created.
Yeah, well, in that case, there's two people. One is the lady who's with them, but also Veda, which is the AI, is mm-hmm. also doing it until they lose it. But yeah, it basically gives a tactical forecast on what's going to happen, how mm-hmm. it's going to happen, what you should do. It predicts what the enemy's going to do based upon what mm-hmm. they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And that's what the whole Veda is. So that's just odd that I was rewatching that. And that was made, I think that was made like in 2017 or something. But, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of these things were made way back in the days. So that's very interesting. Not to go too far overboard because we're getting past that time. Mm-hmm. If you're out there listening, got questions, want to add anything, ask us anything, let us know about stuff. Because like I said, AI is very broad. You can mm-hmm. always hit us up on our IG at Bad Barista Podcast.
Yeah.
I was waiting for you to say our Gmail.
Our Gmail is at badbaristapodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, yes. All right. Thank you for joining us on this episode. My name is Kaz Compagna.
My name is Teresa Soymacha.
See you same bad time.
Same bad channel.
Bad barista. Yeah, they're bad. Bad barista, yeah, they're bad. Bad barista, yeah, they're bad. Are they bad meaning bad or bad meaning good? Good, good, good.